Everybody's saying you not to do that kind of stuff.
Dave, is it here?
That's the line.
This is your copy.
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead. That's right. Just don't take it.
I think that's yours.
Okay, thank you.
Revised agenda is yours.
I have to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Tuesday, May 26, 2015. As is our longstanding tradition, I'd like to invite everyone to join us reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. First item on the agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes of May 11th.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the May 11th minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next is the approval of the executive session minutes for May 18th.
Make a motion.
Okay, Councilmember Goyas also motions to approve the executive session minutes for May 18th. 2015. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Let the record show that both motions passed 4-0 with Council Member Brittingham absent. The reason for the closing of executive session on May 18th was for two reasons. One was to discuss the employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this body has jurisdiction. And the other is to consult with staff, consultants, or other individuals about pending or potential litigation. Okay. Item two is approval of the special events. The first is that we have an application from the Berlin Chamber of Commerce for the bathtub races for this year. So if you'll all come forward and just tell us who you are and your capacity tonight, the hats you're wearing tonight.
First of all, I want to introduce Larnette Sinemont. She is our new director for the chamber.
How do you say that?
Larnette, L-A-R-N-E-T, and it's Saint-Amant, S-T period, A-M-A-N-T.
A-M?
A-N-T.
Okay.
Saint-Amant. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I assume that, is that French?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Parlez-vous?
Very good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited.
I hope you have a very long and successful tenure. And there's just so much going on. You know, forget having any time to yourself. You now belong to everybody.
Okay.
That's a lot of great ideas in her head.
Okay.
On a good roll.
Congratulations.
Yes. Okay. We're asking for the approval of the closing of the streets for the bathtub races.
Okay.
Same as last year.
Yeah, I thought the bales of hay were much better set up based on the experience over time and the growing crowds.
We're going to extend that a little bit further.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I think based on everything that's happening for at least the last couple years. Every event, assuming the weather is reasonably good and there's not heavy rains or thunderstorms, every event is continuously growing.
Yes, it
so
is.
If you take that into account, I don't know what we'll do when we run out of Main Street, but that's a long ways down the road.
Yeah.
All right.
How many years has this event been going on?
Good question.
Well, it started as part of the spring celebration. It was the very end of the spring celebration and the only part to survive. So its origins go back.
Over 20 years.
Yeah, it goes back to the 70s.
Yeah.
70s or early 80s. And then what happened is when the spring celebration kind of morphed, then this became a separate standalone event and now is almost as big as the original spring celebration.
Mm-hmm. Move to approve this request.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the application for an approval of the bathtub races for July 17th, which is Friday evening. The event time starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 9, and the road closure will be from 4 to 10. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much.
Are you guys going to be in it this year? Are you going to be in? Good.
Okay. Mayor, I would like to say I've known Larnette. How many years have I known you? That long. I think she's going to do a wonderful job with the chamber.
Great.
A wonderful job. I'm excited.
Great. Excellent. Good. Thank you. Hopefully they found the right match. I sure hope so. Okay, next is the Berlin Peach Festival, one of the premier events held by the Berlin Heritage Foundation.
Nice.
And again, same drill, even though we've known you forever.
Okay.
If you just introduce yourselves in your capacity.
I'm Jan Quick, president of the Berlin Heritage Foundation.
I'm Susan Taylor, curator of the foundation.
You're welcome.
Okay. We are coming before you to make some requests that we need for the event. I think you should have paperwork in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all highlighted. If you have any questions, I can run through it, but
I think the key is, remember, it's press here.
Oh, okay.
And the public, and so we just a very brief summary.
That
just so people know what we're approving.
Okay, we need street closure for Baker Street because we set up vendors on that street. We'd like to have, so that would be our off-street parking, and we need to have clearance for that. Electric, we need to have set up for the vendors and the banner hung. Usually the electric company does that. And while I'm on the electric company, very quickly, if I may deviate just a second, I do want to thank them. You thought you were going to be in trouble, didn't you? I do want to thank them for saving us twice this year. The trees have encroached upon the electric lines, and it was the coldest night in January when we had to get them out and save the electric lines and give us a temporary fill-in. So I really want them to know how much we appreciate that.
Thank you.
We need trash cans, picnic tables, which those are labeled, and porta potties. And then our vendors are getting applications now, and the ones that they need to turn into the police department, we've been sending out with their applications.
Okay.
Good idea.
And this is what year is this?
This is the seventh.
Seventh? Wow, that's great. Well, it's just great. It's, I think, one of the most successful. They're all successful, but this is one that I think hits a really neat niche at a time of year when people are ready to get back together again after really
what
working
I
hard.
So amazing is the amount of families that do attend this because there's, you know, food and games and entertainment for everybody. And so we see all generations again at this event where you've got the grandparents coming with the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, that is something I've noticed, though. I've been purposely for the last year, because somebody asked me about that, and it's a rare event that doesn't have that phenomena, regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
Here. Now, when I go to some other places, and it's all
same.
Kids.
Right.
Or in some of the communities, it's all
adults.
Older folks.
Yeah.
As old as I am, or older. And so, you know, I think multi-generational events bring out the best in everybody.
Yeah.
I really do, and yet, so I hope that you continue.
I can
that.
Tell you, I'm surprised at it. I never expected it to grow to this size, and it's getting so that it is quite a job. So you know, let's hope, as you say, we don't run out of Main Street, because it takes up all of Main Street these days when we do it. There's traffic. But I think the townspeople also benefit from what's going on that day. I've heard great comments about how the shops are busy and people are happy that day, so.
Can I make a motion then to approve the 7th Berlin Peach Festival, starting at 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's going to be on August the 1st, 2015.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve the Berlin Peach Festival, the 7th annual, for August the 1st. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, congratulations.
And we got Tom in the peach pie eating contest. He hasn't taken his turn.
Yeah, first time you're on the council, you have to participate.
Yeah.
They forgot to warn you of that, didn't they?
And initiation.
And they keep coming up with new stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. All right, next we have a special presentation by the Berlin Community Improvement Association. How you doing?
Good. Good evening. I'm Gabriel Purnell, a board member of the BCIA. I'm coming before you tonight to thank you, Mayor and Council, and employees, because it couldn't be done without your employees, for all the work that was done over on the multipurpose building over the years. We have new doors, new siding, roof, painting of the inside of the multipurpose was really a great job, and the signage. We're looking forward. We had a major job with the floor. The floor is old and it's breaking up, but we have looked into gotten the pricing on a new type of floor that we think would be outstanding with longevity. So again, we want to thank you. And while I'm sitting here, I'd like to add, as a member of the subcommittee that was formed the Park Commission, the outstanding work and additions that have been done in Henry's Park. Really, this week, yesterday we had our Memorial Day event, and it was just amazing. I was sitting across the park giving out refreshments to some of the parade participants, and just to see the kids and everyone, you know, they were just enjoying. And I think it's a great addition to the east side.
Great.
Speaks volumes.
Good. Well, hoping that we get some really competitive. I know we're going to do fine with the youth basketball. I'm hoping we get some really competitive horseshoe leagues going.
Yeah, I believe,
because I know it's real popular.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's been talk, and there are gentlemen in the area, in the community, that really are involved in it. So I think with just the presentation of the park makes a big difference. And I think now we'll see people coming forward and enjoying it more.
Good.
Just as with the multipurpose, I mean, it's being used much more than what it had in the past.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's like inviting somebody into your home. You always kind of fluff things up and fat.
Yeah, I mean, you know, years past, you go by the building, it wasn't a good representative of the town,
right.
You know, and now it's at least aesthetics, and it really makes a big difference.
Well, I thank you very much for your kind words,
and
the thing is, I think you know that this, the previous mayor and councils and the current mayor and council, and as far as I can see, for as long as we can get up and go, I think we're all very committed to supporting that continued effort.
Well, nothing against the past, but I think this administration, with your mayor, with the council, you all guys work together. You really have made it happen, making it happen throughout, just not on this side of town, but over on the east side also.
You talked about the floor again?
Yeah.
What about the floor?
Well, the floor is old tile. And old tile has, you know, it bleaches, it turns, it's breaking up. And it's not much you can do with it. You can go in and we can strip it and put finish on it. And it's just not, it takes away. When you go in and you see that the walls is well done, and hopefully we plan to get some ceiling tiles. And, you know, the floor really makes a difference.
What kind of floor are you planning on?
We're looking at the pour type of, the new type of floor.
Oh, the pour,
yes,
okay.
Yes, yes, and that would be.
Right on top of the concrete.
Right, right.
I did that on my garage floor and threw the little sprinkles out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The epoxy.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And it's easy to maintain. The appearance.
Looks nice.
Yep. So hopefully we'll be able to continue the great partnership.
You said you had estimates?
Yeah, we got one, but you know, we may have to go out and get another one, but we don't know if we got to find another company that does that same type of work.
I'll send you some.
Send me some? Okay.
Call me tomorrow. I'll give you the one that did my back room.
Okay.
See? Well, have
everything
support
is
all over.
All you got to do is ask. Put it out there.
Exactly. I tell you, everything starts with an ask.
Yeah.
You know where to come.
Yeah.
You never know what the answer is going to be, but you know.
But it don't hurt to ask.
That's right.
Put it out there. Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions? Any more questions?
No, we appreciate it. And thank you for your, again, the very kind comments. And, you know, I think that everyone is, these partnerships work. And I hope that, I think what's happening is every partnership that works is encourages other folks to work together. And,
right.
And let's face it, this is one of our oldest partnerships, and I think it's as strong as ever.
Yeah, and when you and when the community see that the town cares, and you know, I've heard a lot of negatives over the years, you know, and when we got several of the young people to step up to the plate and got involved with the park committee, subcommittee, and they see it, what happened. I mean, it really adds pride and to the community.
I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
But Dave, can I ask you a question?
Yes, dear.
I noticed yesterday, because this is my pet peeve, and I'm in the parks all the time, and I've been noticing people are getting really bad with the trash, and I was going to say something to Mary at the next park meeting that maybe we could start putting up some signage, asking people, you know, to take pride in your park.
Right.
But I noticed, like, if I pick up a bag and start walking around and say a couple, you know, ask a couple of the kids, hey, before you go, would you mind helping?
Mm-hmm.
They'll start helping, but I just think it'd help staff, you know, if we could maybe think of a way of getting people
to pick up
their trash behind them in the parks.
Yep.
Because it's all going into the water, you know, the creeks and stuff.
I think it's all a matter of social conditioning.
Yeah.
And that's something, if we can find a few people to set the example.
Yeah, it's a conditioning process.
And maybe a little signage even, you know, thank you for picking up after yourself or something,
right.
You know.
But, and I tell you what, just add that to the list, and then maybe we can come back with some recommendations and some pictures.
But I don't think we have anything, right? I've looked. Yeah. We don't have anything in the parks about trash, you know?
Now, and I think with the new additions, you know, things that have been spruced up, what, you know, new equipment, I don't see why people can't see it. You know, with a little additional sign, with signage, it kind of hits your conscience, you know, when you read it, and you go, oh yes, you know. So it won't hurt. It won't hurt a bit. I think we need to, and hopefully once we can begin to change the attitude.
Yeah, I just want people to take pride in the park,
yeah.
You know, want it to be nice and,
yeah.
You know, trash everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's a very good idea, and we'll find a way of sending a positive message rather than a one that implies some sort of
an encouragement.
Yeah, it gives them encouragement.
It cool.
Gives them encouragement.
We won't mandate it, but we
exactly.
Encourage it.
Nobody wants to. Nobody wants to be told what to do.
Everybody. Pardon.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabe. Tell Diane we said hi.
Number four on the agenda is a motion to approve budget amendments for the 2015 budget. Natalie, you're going to lead us through that?
Would you like me to
That might be good for, if you don't mind.
Good morning, Mayor Council.
Good evening.
Good evening. I would like to discuss a motion to approve for fiscal year 15 budget amendments. And as we all know, when we go through the budget process, we plan our line items for expenses as close as possible according to our historical data, according to our personal judgment, community involvement, and our projections. But through the years, as we go by month, we encounter things that we did not project or plan. So by reviewing our general ledger, I have come across of some line items that have balances that could be helpful to transfer to different expense line items that would actually make our financial statements look more presentable and healthy during the audit of fiscal year 15.
There's money that wasn't used in some item in some categories and needs to be used in other categories, but they're right. Staying within the same either the same department and or utility. Okay.
So I would like to just go over the some of the highlights for each fund, and if you have any questions, just stop me. Exhibit A, as an attachment to the motion of, to approve, the first part is the general fund, and I'll just summarize it by department. Under elected officials, I'm proposing to amend line items. The first two of them is the dues publications and communications, and to move it to the travel to increase it to 4,500. And I think that's due because we have so many more events and travel expense increased and the town is growing. We have planned and gone through the strategic planning and we've got great results, but this wasn't part of a fiscal year 15. That's something come in the middle of the year. So the professional fees for the strategic planning, this line item requires extra budget. So I'm proposing to decrease the contingency and printing account and increase our professional fees account to reflect that expense. Under capital outlay, you will see a big increase of $30,000, which is related to our Harrison property project, which is ongoing. And down on the very bottom, where it says parks and recreations, we have another $30,000 for our bleachers benches at Henry's Park. So combined of those two items of $30,000 to increase the capital outlay, I'm proposing to increase in the same time a prior year surplus. So basically we're gonna cover our capital outlay accounts by increasing the prior year surplus. Pretty much the rest of the general fund, it stays within the line, just like Mr. Mayor mentioned, just shift in one line item to other to just cover the expenses that are needed.
It doesn't impact the bottom line.
For general fund, it will impact the bottom line by $60,000 by increasing the budget by $60,000 from the prior year surplus. Right.
From the prior year surplus.
Yes.
Right, but it doesn't. But that was already budgeted, though.
Was it surplus?
Well, surplus.
I guess that's always been something that, you know, it comes up once a year.
Right.
If you can kind of give us a refresher on that, because I want, from a practical standpoint, I know there's a way of explaining it accounting-wise, but from a standpoint that basically even we can understand what happens with the money when we do that.
We're thinking of a prior surplus as our reserves. So I'm proposing to increase the reserve by $60,000. This will increase the general fund budget in general by $60,000 to fund our capital improvement project related to Towson property and installing the bleachers in the park.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So if we don't have any questions for general fund, I'll move down to electric fund. So enterprise funds, electric, water, sewer, and stormwater, they're not changing the bottom line. All of those line items basically balance itself each other in within the departments. Under electric, the biggest adjustment we have is supplies and operations, and all of the adjustments coming out of the contingency, which is basically
a rainy day fund that you used to call it. Electric department purchased additional transformer and street lighting to improve the electric operations and the supplies, so I'm proposing to increase it by 10,000 out there. That's the biggest highlight. So after all, the contingency in electric fund will be 159,647,000. Okay. Moving to water fund. It's the same scenario. We're going to decrease the contingency and balance the line items for expense accounts. On the bond interest, we have Route 18 extension loan started. We started the repayments, so we have not projected that for fiscal 15. Through the equipment, maintenance, vehicle, and supplies and operations, I think the winter took a big toll on our equipment, and some repairs were needed that were not projected or expected to appear. The last item, which called water tower maintenance, it's our new account in general ledger, and Jane will cover this in later in this evening.
Okay.
Going to sewer fund. Building maintenance did not have any budget on fiscal 15. I would like to increase that to 4,000 due to it was a heat and AC unit installed in electrical room, so it was not projected to be.
So you said there was nothing budgeted for building maintenance?
Yes.
For the water fund?
For the water fund.
Okay.
For the sewer fund, I'm sorry, for the sewer fund. Some spray site pump repairs and effluent pump evaluations done through sewer funds, so all the supplies, equipment, and contracted services needed a little nudge or increase due to those repairs. And due to that, the contingency will go down to 59,450 as a result of that. Stormwater fund. The only thing change is the salaries part-time and temporal. As the summer approaches, stormwater requires extra seasonal help. And Jane and Jeff and I discussed the 3,000 increase in the budget, which will be coming out of professional services because we have plenty budgeted in there. We'll cover the seasonal help salaries.
And not even not anticipating using the professional services as it's
not there. Not yet, okay. Yes.
So this is just the seasonal help.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's, and this is for this year as well.
Yeah, everything right. We're discussing
just
is
for yes.
Make some budget amendments, okay.
And that part-time seasonal, that for the stormwater, that we have that one employee that was out due to the traffic incident, and that was an unforeseen.
Yeah. You can't
so
help.
This is, I thought, I remember back, I'm just going to ask this during the budget, something about when Sharon was being, you know, gave time to Jane, but that would come out of the sewer, not the water, right? Is it still going on?
No. I think
no.
Well, Vicky is doing Sharon's kind of part time on the side, but it's equals everything.
Okay.
There is no extra.
Okay.
Budget out there. And it is correct, it's underwater fund.
Okay, and that's the 8. Is that enough for you now, Jane, with all that big department?
I'm not going to complain. I mean, I'm grateful that I have the time that Vicky's able to give to us, but obviously there's always room for additional help, but I'm grateful for what
I
have.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you've married all those departments together,
yeah,
you know.
If
you could use more, let us know.
Yeah, we need to know now, so later.
Well, yeah, and one thing
we have to wait next year.
Well, I guess one of the things too is that there's been so many changes between what Sharon does and what Vicky's doing, and even what they both do now versus what they both were doing, or what, you know, in both positions. Is that what I would suggest is that you all review it like quarterly and see what needs to be done, and if something needs to be changed before we get to the next budget year, just let us know, okay? And you know. especially the three of you and whoever else you want to bring in to discuss it. But, you know, unfortunately, changes in the real world don't follow the budget cycle, as we know with the accident. So, you know, that's what I would suggest you do is just sit down quarterly and
we'll put a plan together.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's all worked well. I mean, when Mike left and, you know, and it seems like it's, you know, working well and we've saved money doing that, but yet, you know, we want to give you the support because your department grew or the people under you, whatever.
Yeah. It's a challenge, but
they all move, work together.
I think the support that those departments give each other has been
tremendous.
Been really, really made that a very good move. Mm-hmm. And as long as Jane doesn't get crushed by all the activity, I think it'll be fine. And that's something where only you can make that judgment. But I do think that having those two departments work together has worked very well so far. Is that a fair?
I'm very optimistic that it's only going to continue to improve.
Okay.
We've been a year and 2 months, and there's been some growing pains, but there's also been some great strides, and I only see it getting better.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is just review that situation because, you know, listen, everybody here I know is trying to do what is best for the town. Everybody. And that includes department heads, employees, council, administrator. But you can't foresee everything. I mean, we don't have a crystal ball. We just have, hopefully, a vision that we all share. So, you know, if things come up, just we certainly believe in holding to our budgets or at least staying within our budgets. But it doesn't mean that this is etched in stone, and if something unforeseen and particularly when it comes to personnel happens, my advice is just everybody stay in constant communication. Just, you know, don't keep it a secret, but at the same time, you know, just have maybe a quarterly review of things that, not everything, but those things that you think are most important. I think you know the mayor and council is going to be supportive of within our means, and I hope we've shown that over the years. Okay.
So we need a motion for this, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to approve the budget amendment for fiscal year 15, increasing the general fund surplus account by $60,000, and these expenses are associated with the operating of town operating funds, departments.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Hall to increase the general fund prior year surplus account by $60,000. And amending the budget for the current fiscal year as proposed by the finance director. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you. Next is a motion to approve contractual cleaning services for the town of Berlin.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Hello. Good
evening. What you have before you is about a 10-page document or 10-page packet. About a month and a half ago, we put together Mary and I put together a bunch of metrics I call it all the busy work, but it gives you the detail and things that we think needs to be done in all the facilities. Mm-hmm. It breaks it down by, you know, daily tasks, weekly tasks, monthly tasks, etc. Bottom line was we sent out the qualifications, received bids back. We actually had input from four cleaning entities, and they were local and as far away as Baltimore, believe it or not.
Wow.
And four entities came on site at the town hall, went through the walkthrough after the prior to the their submission of bids. And then we actually received the sealed bids, and you can see on the back side of the motion to approve document, what, where those rates came in. The end result was an Angel's Touch was the low bidder. And I can tell you that I did reach out to three of her references. One of her references was the town of Denton. One of the references was the United States Naval Academy Alumni Billeting, as it was called. And the other was an organization over near Goldsboro. All three came back and said that she was conscientious, she did a good job, she was reliable, and the other thing was that two of the three actually told me without me prompting that she and her subordinates were trustworthy. So what I'm here before you tonight to ask is for your approval for this, to award this bid to an Angel's Touch cleaning service that will begin effective after the July 1 turn of the new fiscal year.
All right. Does anybody have any questions for Jeff regarding the contract for cleaning services for the town of Berlin?
Just a couple.
Sure.
Do these folks need to be bonded?
Yes.
Can she be bonded?
And we've required that, and she has provided her bonding.
Okay. Secondly, I'm curious about the cleaning. It's 7 a.m. to noon. Is that what happens?
We put a window in the initial planning document. And what we would like is, using Town Hall as an example, and the other entities for a second, I think that don't have the same specific requirements, but here, the customer services area, because what's being done now, that gets done before anybody gets in.
Okay.
And then the rest of the building gets done throughout the day. So we're flexible on those times. We're gonna, you know, whoever we award this to in the end, let them come in, let them get their feet wet, and see what works best for all of us and for that cleaning company.
Because this is all new to us.
So what about the many, many, many events that we have, like on a Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon?
We required in the document as well, in the planning for the public restrooms, March through December. It's a 7-day event for the cleaning entity to clean those restrooms.
Yeah, to be cleaned daily, basically.
Be daily, yes.
7 days a week.
Like we're doing now. And then we have, unfortunately, Jane's crew will come in. You know, if the way it's done today, if Carolyn cleans the public restrooms at 7:30 in the morning on a Friday, and at 11 o'clock at night, if it's trashed, the police usually get the notification. They notify Jane, and then Jane sends one for folks.
Does that happen often, Jane?
Not at 11 o'clock at night, but
no.
Usually on Saturday and Sunday, because she's not available on the weekend, so we usually get called in on the weekend.
So this is part of that scope of work. They are going to clean the bathrooms seven days
a week, March through December.
Okay, well, if you're happy, I'll make a motion.
Dick, I've got a question.
Oh, go ahead.
These folks have liability insurance.
Yes, that was a requirement as well.
And workers' comp.
That is correct.
I'll make your motion then.
Okay, sure.
Did we approve it?
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve Angel's Touch cleaning service in the for a year contract for cleaning services for the town of Berlin in the amount of $36,550. And this is from for the new fiscal year, which is July 1st, 2015 through June 30th, 2016. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Number six, motion to approve the contract with Tyler Technologies.
That's correct. So Tyler Technologies is the software firm that we are recommending to contract with for the purchase of a new financial system. With this package would include not just core financials, which is general ledger, but also a utility billing package. You might recall we issued an RFP last year that the council agreed to hire the Government Finance Officers Association that helped us with the preparation of the RFP, which included them coming on site for several days to interview staff throughout the organization, including some council members, on their particular preferences for a financial system. And we put an RFP out that resulted in two responses. Well, we had a committee that was reviewing those responses. We went on site to two different locations to see that software in action. And the end result is that we are recommending that the council
approve a license and services agreement with Tyler Technology. The total of the contract, if you turn to page 12 in your packet, which is Exhibit A, you'll see that the software amount is $75,625. There's a hardware amount of $3,370. There's a services amount, which is $83,800. That services amount is basically their professional services to help convert the data that we have and train your staff so that we can manage the software as efficiently and effectively as possible. That total is $162,795. The license agreement also includes, if you turn the page to page 13, an annual investment of $21,758. These are annual support fees that we would be paying regularly to ensure that we get updates of the software. It also helps to cover the cost of any kind of service requests or online, in-person, on-phone assistance we might need, like a help desk kind of an arrangement.
Is that Tyler on demand?
Yep.
So you will be able to have support?
Yep. I don't know if there's anything Natalie wants to add to the...
No, I think Lori covered all.
Okay. Councilmember Burrell was on the subcommittee. I don't know if there's anything he wants to add about the process
like
of the recommendation.
I would like for you and Natalie to share with the council and the public what this software is going to do for us.
I don't know where to start. So in a nutshell, it's going to take our financial capabilities to a whole other level. Right now, finance department, in particular Natalie, has to download data into an Excel spreadsheet and then format it nicely in order for us to be able to generate even the most basic of financial reports. This software will enable us to generate information literally with a push of a button. So that'll mean that the council will get very accurate, much more timely information at a fraction of the amount of time, at least Natalie's time, that it took before. So it's my hope that that'll free her brain up to do fun analytical work. And it'll also enable us to produce much more information for the council much more quickly. It's also going to provide, through its utility billing aspect, much more robust information for customers. They're going to be able to go online and look at their billing information. So it's going to take some time for us to roll this out. Tyler Technologies has about a 5 to 6 month implementation schedule. Might be wrong on that. They're proposing March of 2016 implementation for core financials and then April 2016 implementation for utility billing. That amount of time is needed for them to do the data conversion that we're requiring as well as train staff up. Is there anything I missed now?
In the March 2016, you said that would be for basically,
the core financials, which is your general ledger.
Okay, thank you.
And the purchasing. And then the utility billing component would come online in April. It's our hope to get that schedule reduced, but that's sort of the time frame
they've given us. Something is more important to get it right than to get it fast.
Yes, I completely agree. Natalie, is there anything else you want to add?
So with that, if we go in live for the March and April, the biggest advantage would be it's everything going to be what I would call in one bucket. Versa, right now we have billing software in a separate base, and then we have financials in absolutely separate. So we manually updated and important data. With Tyler Technologies, we should be able to communicate the billing and the financial data at the speed of one day and print the report updated simultaneously with the billing receipts and the financial data already updated. The second thing, I'll give you a simple example of a budget process. Right now, I'm doing the budget process in Excel spreadsheet. So for me to update the data, I pull the report from Logix. I go manually in every single line item, and I punch the number by number after number. So then if I would like to update my numbers as of today, I go in Logix, print another report, and I go page by page, number by number. So hopefully next
budget process, I should be able to go in Tyler Technologies and enter my information, and every time I would like to print a new report, those numbers should be updated as of today with expenses and revenue received. Wow. as of the date, the time frame. Also, I should be able to go back if Mr. Burrell would like to ask me how many accounts have been disconnected last year. I should be able to go and type March 30th of 2014 and should be able to pull this data. As of today, we cannot do that. If I don't have a scanned-in document, I cannot pull this information in the past. Wow. We don't have a time machine.
It's more than a major step. It's, it sounds like it's going from one universe to another.
Right. I got interested in the software. I asked Natalie for a report, some comparison or something, and I could see by her expression was like, do you know what you're asking me? It was like, it was, do you know what you're really asking me to do? And I thought it was just a simple request of where you just run a report, but it would have taken her 2 or 3 days to get that information together, and we can do business better than what we're currently doing. Having better information will provide us what we need to make better decisions, and I think this is the way to go. It is a good thing. It will relieve our staff of doing so much of that grunt work and have them aspire to a higher level of management and customer service, really.
Excellent. And thank you very much for your time that you put into that. That is something that people know, is that, you know, we don't make a big deal about it because it's just part of everybody's job, but different council people volunteer their time. And it's not that it's burdensome, it's something that people do, but everybody has a different areas of expertise or interest or a combination. And so what we've been doing is, depending on the subject, if someone has an interest in it, then that council member then is encouraged to dive in and, you know, and just go to visits and be in field trips and, you know, sitting on negotiating meetings or whatever. And again, it's just another way in which to try to take advantage of a variety of backgrounds and experiences.
I do have a question. Natalie, on page 16, there's a online citizen portal application. Can you delve into that a little bit? Because I want to know how it coincides with what I had asked a few meetings ago during the budget sessions about the credit card payment charges.
Okay, the credit card charges, the actual fees that the credit card companies charges the town of Berlin, and we only accept certain credit cards which has the lower rates. We observing the fees on our behalf for the utility payments, just because we don't have any other payment mechanism set up online but the electric, water, and sewer, we observe the full fees. We are going to go with the Tyler Technologies. They're going to provide the online access for the customer service. The customer will be able to pay the utility fees plus any other services that we will set up. So if somebody decides to pay a grass cutting invoice, they should be able, or property tax, they should be able to go online and pay. Tyler Technologies will be surcharging. Are you referring to the note on the bottom?
Yes, ma'am.
Of a customer pay a dollar fee per transaction. That is a Tyler Technology fees charging for maintenance and I guess upgrading the online portal itself.
Plus the related credit card charge?
Correct.
Let me just add, we got that negotiated down from $2.50. Their standard rate is $2.50 per transaction,
and so, we spent some time negotiating them down to a dollar.
So the 2 point plus that they're going to be charging the individual when they pay their credit card, when they pay with their credit card online, that's going to be added to that, that user's bill.
If a customer using credit card, the specific credit card, Visa or Discover has a certain fee. On the top of that fee, the Tyler Technology will charge
a dollar
for using the online payment as...
I got that part. It's the rest of that sentence that I'm curious about. Plus related credit card charge, that's what I'm asking. Is that going to be the percentage that is being charged by the processing company?
Correct.
So we won't have that question that I asked a few months ago, whatever it was, about that line item with the credit card charges, that's now a moot point?
No, we still will be paying the credit card fees. We will be paying a dollar extra plus the credit card fees. Credit card fees are not going away. They're fees that the credit card processor charging us for.
But it's going to be a wash, according to this.
No.
I don't think that's what they're saying.
No. I'm sorry. It's not a wash.
If I pay with my credit card the way I'm getting it, they're going to charge me a dollar for using my credit card this...
I get that.
And then they're going to charge the town the fees for using my card, correct?
Correct.
That's not how I read that.
The town is observing the cost for the credit card processing. And as of right now, Laura, you can chime in, we will be observing the cost of a dollar as well.
Unless the council wants to do something different with that $1.
I'm sorry, that's just not how I read that.
Well, if you want, if you're open to approving the contract pending clarification of that statement, then we can go back to them, or if you prefer to delay and act on this at your next meeting, we can get clarification and bring it back.
I don't want to be the one to hold it up, but at the same time, that was a sticking point with me on that one budget item that we had that night, because I've heard that from some other folks, and I'm still not in agreement with the way that it's been settled tentatively, and that's why I'm trying to find out, that's why I've highlighted this section. I wanted to find out exactly what the person's paying. So if they have a $100 bill for electric, water, whatever, they're going to pay $101, because I understand the $1 there, but if they get hit with a 2% charge, now they're going to be paying $103.
Mr. Gillis, the customer will be paying $100 bill.
Plus
the town of Berlin will be covering the processing fee for the credit card vendor or processor of the Visa, Discover, etc. Plus, we'll be covering a dollar fee that will go to Tyler Technologies for keeping up the online accessibility for the customer.
The payee's not absorbing any of those costs.
It will be no impact on the customer. Customer will go in, sign online, and decides to pay the utility bill. Let's say it's $100. The customer will be charged to a credit card $100. On our end, we will cover the cost to process the credit card transaction, whichever the percentage will be applied to the $100. Plus, we will pay on the top of that a dollar per transaction.
And that's what they negotiated down. They're getting a dollar a hit. Every time they process for us, they're getting a dollar versus $2.50. But that's not being passed on to the customer.
And the customer will be able to sign in, see the utility usage, see the outstanding bills, see what they owe as of today. They will be able to look up the prior month's payment and usage, and they will be able to pay the property tax or miscellaneous outstanding invoices. So the convenience for a customer, instead of walking to the town hall, they can sit at the computer home and just pay. Our responsibility is to cover the cost to accommodate the customer to make a prompt payment without penalty.
But wait a minute. What I understand, though, with Tom is, you know, there are people that are never going to use that service in town, so they're never going to incur that dollar fee nor those credit card fees. And I know when I go online and pay my Comcast bill or my Verizon bill, I pay extra for the convenience of paying online.
But you don't own Comcast. And I think the point here that I would like to make is that our customers are the town.
why would we not offer this to the people who actually own the utility? We don't own it.
Customers
own it. All these utilities belong to the people who use it. So therefore, if we're giving a break to somebody, we're giving it to the people who own the utilities. So I just want to, because we're not trying, one of the things we do not do, with the electric department, because it's so complex, there's the PSC and the Public Service Commission Council, is to make sure that we do not make a profit. We don't make a loss, but we at the same time we don't make a profit. We're basically supposed to, everything's supposed to watch. And I think that's the thing that we need to keep in mind.
Right.
Is that if we were a private business, then it'd be different. But we are basically, the people who are getting the benefit of this service are also the owners of the town, which is basically our customers. And you know, we can break them down between residential and commercial and all those other kind of things. But ultimately, I think that's fundamentally a difference between government and private sector.
Industry.
And I'll just throw it out. Just it's something that, we sometimes lose sight of.
The $2.50 to the dollar, that's a big difference. They didn't want to let that go. That's their little grave.
But at the same time, I think they wanted the contract. I think, the point's well taken. I don't disagree with the understanding, but I just want to understand that we are a different species, in that basically our attempt is to provide as many services as efficiently as we can, so that we can hold the cost down. But at the same time, it's the benefactors are the people who basically are served by us.
That being offset for. Basically, the benefit, because as Mr. Mayor mentioned, we sell the utility at cost, we're not making any profit, to collect the payments back with the speed, it's in our interest, not to have outstanding receivable a large amount. So to offer a customer to go online the minute they receive a bill, I think that's the price we have to pay. And
the cost of doing the business.
The cost doing the business.
Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the contract with Tyler Technologies, which for the initial investment for the software and related services would be $162,795, with annual support fees that would follow of $21,758 per year. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. And again, we probably won't have a full appreciation for what they do or what this will offer us until we get almost a year under our belt, I think. And by then, this time next year, hopefully.
It'll be a couple year process before they're even up and going.
March of 16 is when they expect to go live with the financials, but we'll get a schedule. I'll give them the contract tomorrow. We'll get a schedule from them. We'll probably start training, I would think, within the next couple of months.
And this software will work with if we ever go with smart readers, right?
Yep.
That was the other thing. Will work.
Yeah, and that's something that is, it hasn't been forgotten, but
that's on the horizon.
I do think that we didn't get the cart before the horse.
Right.
Because it would have. We wouldn't have been able to take advantage of the advantages of smart meters for water and for electric without this.
Exactly.
So it would have been feeding into nothing. Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Next, number seven on the agenda is the introduction of the budget for FY16. Basically, I wish to thank all the department heads for their work in preparing the town budget proposals and the town council for their detailed review of the proposed budget over three budget work sessions that we have held since April 20th. More time for sure, and possibly more effort, has been put into the preparation of this budget than any I've been associated with since first being elected to the town council in 2003. For all the work that all of you and our partners have done, I thank you. The proposed budget is based on holding the current property tax rate at 68 cents per $100 in valuation. There are no increases in any fees for town water, wastewater, stormwater utilities. Electric costs will be reduced by 3% for the average monthly town residential customer from for the 18-month period from June 15, 2015 to December 2017, and that's as a result of the recent purchase power contract that we consummated back in March. The overall town budget for all departments for fiscal 2016 totals $17.1 million. The breakdown for the proposed town budget is as follows. The general fund is proposed at $5.7 million, or a 10% increase of $263,682. And by the way, I will email this to the press or anybody else, anybody who wants it. And you can, rather than trying to remember all this, most of the increase in income up to the general fund results from increasing impact fees on new residential development within the town, also increases from state income tax revenues allocated to the town of Berlin, and increases in highway user revenues from the state of Maryland. That's where the majority of that increase comes from. Electric fund, it will be $5.5 million under the proposed budget, or a 3% reduction, which represents $147,241. The reduction in cost is from the new power purchase agreement, reflected in decreases in residential and commercial electric sales. Water fund is $1 million, and which represents a 16% increase of $149,120. The increase in dollars from special connection revenues generated by new developments. Next is a wastewater fund is at $2.6 million, or an 18% increase, which represents $399,992, basically just shy of $400,000. The increase in dollars is from special connection revenues generated by new development. And lastly, the stormwater fund is $2.2 million, which is a 69% increase of almost just shy of $902,000. And the increase is from dollars from grants received from DNR, the Community Development Block Grant, and from the Federal Emergency Management Administration. So again, this is the benefit of having a regular revenue stream, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Natalie, is how much is our annual revenue from stormwater fees?
We have 100,000 from residential.
And this is a 70-something?
We have 68,000 estimated from residential and 90,000 from commercial.
Okay, so for that, that revenue stream has been able, in our initial efforts, has been able to produce, between that and our original grant, over $1 million in grants. From having a revenue stream of less than $170,000 a year. So I think you don't have to be a math whiz to understand that the return on investment that we are making as a community in ourselves is quite phenomenal. And I still don't understand why people think it's improper to improve stormwater, or everything but stormwater. And when that's the one thing that actually can destroy property. I haven't had any sidewalks or streets ever attack anybody's home, but stormwater has certainly done some serious damage.
Go talk to Texas.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're so lucky, and I do think that you know, just it's something we promised folks, and I just want folks to know that the promise is being delivered on. And also in this budget, the town employees will receive a 3% salary increase, and the town will incur no health insurance cost increase for the fifth consecutive year. And Jeff, thank you very much for all the work you did to make that possible again. And that, you know, I read about what some other government agencies are incurring, and you know, I don't want to know how you did it. Just thank you. But I know it took a lot of work. And take an investment of time. As has been our course for several years, I believe the overall result of the fiscal 16 proposed town budget enables the town of Berlin to maintain a financially stable budget with continued incremental improvements in municipal services while allowing the town to continue to invest in infrastructure and property to provide permanent benefits to the community in the future. Okay.
So that's a great overview. Thank you so much. You've done everything that I was going to do.
Well, it's kind of the thing that I've done every year, and if you have anything you want to add or any questions you have for now.
I'm not sure if you would like me to go over anything that have slight changes since the last budget workshop. If not, then we can
whatever the council wants, it's fine with me. I think
we've covered pretty much everything. And
we certainly, I think, tried to leverage everything we can, you know, between grants and also bonding where it's appropriate.
So the slightest changes, anything that we've discussed in the budget workshop for the new upcoming projects got reflected in the capital outlay. So if we change in the bottom line, of course, the overhead allocation changes. So the highlighted items that you see in the budget in your printout in blue, that's the reflection of the minor changes that we've done. The only thing I would like to point out in electric fund, if you go to page 19.
19?
Yes. The original capital outlay, this number for the bond drawer that highlighted in blue for 153,558, line item 7355, corresponds to page 23 on the capital outlay request, line item 4230. Previously, we have stated the bond drawer at $100,000 being allocated to smart metering. I have reworded that and changed the amount for the remainder of the bond allowed amount unspent, and I name it electric system infrastructure upgrades. In case if we're not going to be able to proceed with the project, we still have to use the money to upgrade the electric system. And I will discuss this in a little bit in an hour next agenda item for the refinancing of the bonds.
Okay.
So that's the only wording and the amount changed since the last budget workshop. And the remainder are pretty much the same. And Mr. Mayor covered the overall picture. So if you don't have questions.
Does anyone have any questions or comments? Then what will happen next is that we'll have a public hearing at the next regular council meeting on June 8th, and then after the public hearing, the council can make a decision rather to amend or pass the budget that night, or as a final last chance would be 2 weeks later. Historically, we've been able to pass the budget in the first meeting of June, which certainly is an advantage to internally to not having to make a lot of have a sudden rush of effort within days of the new budget going into effect. So I'm hopeful. I think, you know, certainly been vetted more thoroughly than ever, and I thank you very much for the work you've done with a financial system that basically fights back. Right? So thank you.
Thank you.
It's true. Right. Next is a resolution for the property tax rate for the new fiscal year, fiscal 2016. And that basically is that we are not changing the tax rate at all. It is 68 cents per hundred as it has been the last 3 years, something right. Like that.
We just need you to formally approve that, and then we would file that with the county. It's part of the required process.
And it used to be 73 cents per hundred, and about 3 years ago, we lowered it 5 cents per hundred, which is the second lowest property tax rate for municipalities in Worcester County, the lowest being Ocean City because their property tax base is exponentially greater than ours. Let's just leave it at that. But I think that, you know, dollar for dollar, based on, you know, being a small town, I think we get a lot of bang for our buck.
So we do need a motion on the tax?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to make the motion then on ordinance 2015, or resolution 2015-07, fiscal year 2016, property tax rate to remain the same.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Hall to maintain the current property tax rate of $68 $0.68 for each $100 of assessed valuation for the new fiscal year for the town of Berlin. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Next is ordinance number 9 on the agenda, an introduction of ordinance 2015-02, refinancing of infrastructure bonds. Okay?
Megan.
You're on deck again.
So this lengthy document, the ordinance, it's basically the introduction for us to be able to refinance outstanding 2004 Series A bond for electric fund. In 2004, we have issued a bond for $3 million to improve the electrical infrastructure, improve, upgrade, and better all. Through the years, we have made improvements and drawn the money on the bond. As of today, we have close to $2.3 million outstanding. So the interest rate and the term of a bond remainder of 19 years, allowing us right now to refinance it and save money for the remainder of the term, basically for the future.
And what was the original rate versus the refinance rate?
The original rate was 4.71.
Okay.
And right now, I don't have the exact rate. This will be locked in at our settlement, per se. So we should be able going down to 3 and a little tail. Maybe in a quarter. I would give the exact percentage.
Yeah, but so I realize it depends on the closing date.
It depends on the closing date and the time of the closing.
Okay. But we're talking about roughly 1.5%.
Correct.
Interest. Right. Reduction.
Reduction. So this will allow us to save around $253,000 for the remainder of 19 years.
That's the savings over 19 years?
Yes.
Thank you.
253.
I can't imagine anybody.
So are we refinancing for 19 years? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
So basically, we will be refinancing the existing debt with the new term, with the new interest rate. But we have to go through the process of introducing the ordinance, advertising, then going to public hearing and accepting the ordinance. And then after that, we will be able to settle and accept the interest rate. There are costs associated with the refinancing, and we have budgeted under professional fees the costs for CDA advisor and our bond advisor and electric fund. And those costs will be paid from the funds on hand. It would be a smarter move to do that way, so we will save a little bit more in the long run.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's that number?
I'm sorry?
The cost.
On the high end, it will be approximately $70,000. It's budgeted at 70, but I don't see we're gonna reach that. It's probably going to be less.
It's going to be within the budgeted amount.
Right.
So our actual savings should be about 180 then?
253 is that after I've already taken the 70 into consideration.
Okay. That's the actual
amount. That's the actual savings.
Okay. 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 Does anybody have any other questions regarding the refinancing? Anybody who knows exactly what's going to happen with the economy in the future, you certainly should end up being a very rich person, but I think that everyone's anticipating the Fed to increase the prime rate sometime sooner than later. Nobody knows exactly when, if the economy continues to show improvement. And so I don't think this opportunity is going to be here indefinitely. An increase in the prime would be a strong signal that the economy is truly on a permanent path to recovery, whatever permanent means now. But I do think that the timing is probably as good as it's going to get, because I doubt it's ever going to be this cheap for a while. Okay. Does anybody care to make a motion?
No, we have to have a public hearing, right?
Well, we'd have to. Oh,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
June 8th.
This was first read.
This is the first read.
This is the first read.
First read,
get her done.
Now get her, let's get her done. Yeah. Okay, thank you. All ready to go. All right.
So next meeting we'll have a hearing.
Okay. So if you have any questions regarding that in the meantime, just send them that way. Okay. Next is the departmental reports. Natalie, do you have anything to add?
I think I'm done
talking. Okay. Next is Water Resources and Public Works, Jane Kreider.
Good evening. I'd like to just touch a little bit on a PO that's in your packet for $15,869 to Southern Corrosion Incorporated. About 18 months ago, we got an inspection done on our water towers, both on Franklin Avenue and 346. Franklin Avenue water tower evaluation came back. There were some significant issues resulting or needing, if not immediate, very soon repairs. We went out for quotes from three reputable companies. They came back with, and they were all going at bidding on apples to apples, and one was $36,000, another one was $39,000, and then the low bid was $26,000. But when I met with Southern Corrosion, and they said, you know, we put this bid in, but we don't agree that this is what should be done. This is just putting a Band-Aid on a pretty serious situation, but we were just bidding on what was given to us. They suggested, and we did call the references, they suggested that we enter into a 10-year maintenance agreement with them. It's $15,869 for 10 years. In that 10 years, well, number one, in the very first year, they would do all the repairs that would be required immediately. They also, instead of doing the piecemeal painting over the repairs, this would have a total power wash and complete painting of the water tower. And then in year six, again, it would have a complete power wash and a paint, and then also an interior painting, which is substantial. So
are they doing the interior painting first or no?
Right now, they don't think it's necessary. It was done about 10 years ago. And
this is when they come and they put the big canvas
over
the
wall. That's
when they do the outside.
Yes, but they do have to put a barrier around it. If we recall, when they did the one on 346, they didn't have a barrier, and Barrett's cars got some splatter from the paint.
Mm-hmm.
So we.
I think it's required just about for any major infrastructure now.
Yes.
Bridges, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a difference in time.
Yeah. Overall, over the 10 years, it'd be $150,000. But that, again, that does include two complete paintings on the exterior and one on the interior, and all the repairs to include the rusted ladders that are there,
mm-hmm.
The walkways, the manways.
But this is prime principal maintenance. This needs to be done, or it's a lot less expensive than replacing a water tower.
Absolutely, yes.
What kind of life, you know, given the unusual circumstances or getting, you know, some terrible cataclysmic event from weather or something, what would you expect the lifespan of our two water towers that exist now? I know that I assume they're different.
Franklin Avenue has been there since the 50s, so that's 65 years right there. I would say, given proper maintenance, 100 years or more.
Well, gee, you know the one on Mystic Harbor? Because I was mm-hmm. working over there, and I remember the guys, they were from North, they went and did that one, but they did the inside too, because it was fascinating where they went in the tower and they covered it, mm-hmm. draped it, and that's been 20 years. It was before I moved in my house, and I've been in my house here 21 years. So that paint job on Mystic Harbor has lasted at least 21 years.
That's great.
Okay. They didn't have the paints they did.
We do have
now.
The antennas on ours, which does create an electrolysis effect, so it does
accelerate that. Yeah.
does accelerate the deterioration,
we get some,
but as long as you protect it,
yeah.
We do get rent money from the antenna.
Oh, yes.
So that money is set aside for the maintenance of these water towers. So it's really just doing what we should be doing.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that to you, Natalie. We're not going to ask you how much money is in there for the water tower.
It's okay. I have that number, too.
You do?
Yeah, we did, didn't we? We said that.
Great. Okay, now, appreciate the explanation.
So, okay, and so I hope that will go and be approved. Also, I just real quickly, the Tripoli Street sidewalks are pretty much complete. We're waiting for the state highway to come in on, and they're going to be here this week, is what I was told, to do some repairs on sidewalks on South Main Street, and they're doing a tie-in with the Tripoli Street.
No, I don't remember. When I went down to look at it, I think it was just before the weekend. Everything was looking good, but there was still some sod that wasn't placed on the very corner.
And that's right. And that's where the tie-in's going to be. State Highway is going to continue. That's where they asked us to stop.
So will we be putting in the sod after they do the work?
We will be putting that sod
after
in, but they're going to be putting the rest of that retaining wall.
Okay, great.
And that submerged pond, gravel, or whatever, the plan, that looks nice.
It does, yeah.
And that'll hold water there, and then...
Well, actually, most of it'll drain seep down, and those plants will uptake it.
That looks nice.
Yeah. That's another classic case of where we're using, what is it called? I'm so tired. The new efforts in stormwater management, I can't think of the...
Thank you.
Environmental site design.
DMV.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes. And then just one other thing, we're reading meters this week, may run into next week sometime.
Great. Excellent. That's very, very good news. It looks great, and we'll hopefully keep doing more and more with these sidewalks.
Yes, and the Branch Street sidewalks are complete. The design's complete. We should be going out for bids here soon.
Very good. I had some folks ask me yesterday about that when Dean and I were racing down Flower Street. Wasn't much of a race. We were going about 1 mile an hour. Anyway, next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few things I got to report on the past 2 weeks. At number 2 Henry's Mill Road, we installed a new underground service to a new house that was just built there. It's the first lot as you enter Henry's Mill on the left. And then also 204 Washington Street, we had repaired a faulted underground service that occurred there. And then also at 10504 Flower Street, we replaced a broken pole that was hit by a car. Broke the pole about 20 feet off the ground. We ended up having to replace that. And then also for the Memorial Day parade, we installed banners and electrical panels on Flower Street. And then also I had to meet with a contractor at the power plant for some testing that's going to be required by our insurance company. And then I'm also meeting with the insurance agent on Thursday, I believe, Jeff. And the contractor is going to meet there with the insurance agent at the same time. They're requiring a certain amount of testing to be done on the engines and the transformers and the breakers and that type of thing. Then also preparing for the Touch Truck event, which is this Saturday from 10 to 2. AMP has agreed. 10 to 12. I'm sorry. AMP has agreed to attend AMP, our new purchase power contract. They've agreed to attend the event. They're going to be handing out some information. And then also, Sharon has volunteered to wear the AMP mascot uniform.
Ernie Energy
is the name of it.
Okay. Which I know who that is, who she is.
Or? Yep. Which that'll be pretty neat.
Weather dependent. If it's too hot, she won't wear the
right. Yeah. That's correct. Cannery Village, we're getting ready to install the temporary service to the construction trailer. They moved the trailer in there, so they're ready for power for that. And then also we have meter reading this week, like Jane mentioned. And then also it's 101 South Main Street. We replace, you remember the leaning tree that we removed a few years back? We installed a, with the help of Jane and her personnel, we installed a new tree, planted a new tree in its place.
And it's on the opposite side of the house, so it's not near the wires?
No, it's actually on the same side of the house that the old tree was, but it doesn't grow as big.
Okay.
It's a smaller tree.
I think it's set back a little bit further.
It's set back a little further from the power lines.
Well, that tree, original tree was there before power lines were ever installed.
That's correct, yeah. And that's about it. Oh, we did have an outage this past Friday. I think most of you are aware of that. It occurred around, I think it was 11:56, something like that. That outage occurred, Delmarva Power lost the transmission feed to the town. I never did find out what exactly took their transmission line out, but that definitely was the cause of it on that.
Good.
That's it.
But it was restored within, what, 15 minutes?
About 10, 12 minutes, something like that. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening, everyone. Since we last met, we've had several events. Again, if we could recall all of them, cruisers, they had lacrosse tournaments, 5K runs, prom, on and on and on. But we want to especially note the Memorial Day week weekend events themselves. The Memorial Sunday at the War Memorial was a great event, greatly attended, and definitely a sense of pride and something that the town can be very proud of, the association and the cooperation of the American Legion Post, the church community, and the community in general coming together for that event. We want to thank our law enforcement partners, Maryland State Police and the Sheriff's Office for assistance with the old-fashioned Memorial Parade, which again was a big event and a long event that day. We also had a partnership with the Maryland State Police with Traffic Initiative, and we had over 200 plus stops over the weekend itself. I have no idea how many stops we had up into Monday. But we're very busy and we're ready for graduation.
And, that's tomorrow night,
again,
right?
Again, that's the next event, so we'll be out there looking out for parties on the graduation night. Again, we're there, you know, stressing safety with the kids, and we've been talking about that. And we're also looking forward to the parties on the weekend itself. So again, we're in full swing, and again, it was great preparation for the events, for the parties, and I think everybody did a wonderful job.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just briefly, wanted to thank the Bay Area Center for Independent Living. They were in town last Tuesday and Wednesday. We did phase three of the training I attended last fall. We hosted, we had them in the conference room. We had a good bunch of people. This is the first certification that'll be recognized by the Department of Justice, which oversees ADA compliance. So our group will be the first ones receiving that in the country. I was very happy to hear that. I wasn't aware of that when we booked it all. They're very, very impressed with the town. They're another partner that's out of Salisbury. They have a lot to do with mobility. They have a lot to do with senior housing. I think it's a good partnership fit for us. They reached out to me after that other training in last November. And I think it went real well. And they're very impressed with everybody who worked for the town. They're impressed with our commitment to sidewalks and to biking. They realize where we have older infrastructure, what barriers we have. So it was enlightening for all of us. Enforcement does continue. It is the season for grass to grow and things to hang over the sidewalks. Carolyn Duffy and I have been, Carolyn's doing an excellent job with enforcement and getting letters out for us. We've been taking a lot of rides around, so encourage your constituents. I look at it as help. When I hear something come in that it's a, some people look at it as a complaint, I always think it's help for us to be aware of it. And Tim mentioned the cannery with their construction trailer. Just a reminder, this Thursday the 28th at 1 o'clock, we will be having a ribbon cutting out there. Sorry.
It's groundbreaking, isn't it?
Groundbreaking. He calls it a ribbon cutting.
They work fast, but I didn't think they did that fast.
So If you can attend, I think it'd be a good event.
Great.
We can all show our support. They've been coming in and having a meeting or two in our spare room, in our office, and that's been helping them out, and I think they'd be a good partner for the town.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is the Human Resources Director, Jeff Fleetwood.
A couple things, Mayor and Council. One, I want to thank the department heads, thank all the employees, and I thank you, each and every one of you, because you did make your face shine upon all in this room last week for open enrollment. Open enrollment is done. Now the work begins to do all the stuff you got to do to make those things happen. Today was day one of the ambassador program for 2015. So that has begun now. And then on the radar scope, in the very near future, we will have scheduled training here in the chamber for both ethics training and harassment training. And you'll get an invite to that when it gets finalized. I can't remember his first name, but Crow, the attorney with...
Ernie Crowfoot,
thank you. He will do the actual ethics training, and then folks from Legit will do the harassment training.
Excellent. Now, but if you don't mind, what was the turnout, either in percentage or numbers, for the open enrollment? It looked pretty busy when I was there.
100%. Every employee, to include our town attorney, to include our council and our mayor and our staff, every employee, with the exception of one who was on vacation.
That's a good excuse. That's a great excuse. Good. That's excellent.
We're good.
Excellent.
We're good.
Excellent. Thank you.
And there was quite a bit of this year, which I thought was interesting, and I haven't analyzed it yet, but we had a higher percentage than normal that have made changes to the benefits, whether they dropped the spouse or dropped the family, or they've added the family, added a spouse.
Changes.
I know the overall, just a quick look, it was by far, in the 5 years that I've been here, the most significant year where changes have been made.
Good. Excellent. Thank you. All right, next is Economic and Community Development Director, Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I am here just to report good news. I have really good news to report. First, I also want to remind everyone, because the AGH Health Fair and the High Heel Race will be on Friday, June 5th, so that's before the next meeting, so I wanted to make sure everyone knew that was coming.
You got to do that, too.
The health fair, I've been working with Dawn Denton and free screenings in the visitor center. I think there will be about 11 or 12 free screenings participating inside the building and outside of the parking lot. And I'm working with Sharon. We're going to close that parking lot off during the day, and the health fair will be from 3 to 7. And then the high heel race will take place in its usual location that night as well. And I'm not sure if everyone has seen the MML magazine.
Yes, I did.
So we are the winners of the MML Achievement Award.
And you had a nice article in there you wrote. Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the article.
Very well written, thank you.
Yeah, he edited it.
I didn't even have to touch it.
And then also two more letters. I received a really nice letter from Secretary Kenneth Holt, who's the Secretary of Department of Housing and Community Development for the state of Maryland. And basically, in a nutshell, it's thanking me and the town for participating in the legislation efforts to secure revitalization and community legacy funding, strategic demolition grant funding, and also for neighborhood business work. So that was a really positive letter, and I'll scan this in and send everybody.
And he's going to be visiting
June 29th,
that Monday, right? But while MML is here, so he'll be here, and of course, obviously, the council and the council people that can join in. It depends on how busy you are at work or whatever. He'll be here from noon to about 2:15. I think it's about 2 hours and 15 minutes, something like that. And he's going to have lunch and then go on our typical quick but whimsical tour of downtown.
Correct. And no, it's actually to the other property, so I have a shuttle bus coming.
Great.
And then One of the things that I mentioned in this letter was community legacy grant funding, and that funds the facade grant that we offer as a town. And I've been really trying to get the business and property owners to take advantage of this. So I've gotten two already approved. One was for the painting of 12 William Street, which is now Uncle John's Soaps, which was Bungalow Love. And then the second was for the Helen Wiley for the Church Mouse. They wanted to get some screen doors, so that's been approved. But I got a really nice letter from John, and I just like to share it with you. I just got it just today. It says, to the town of Berlin, we want to thank you all for your support for this project. These funds allowed us to repair our storefront. This in turn made the building more attractive to our new tenant, John Conley, and hopefully will attract more foot traffic to his new business. The funds also allowed us to do other needed repairs to the building. We are excited and proud to bring Uncle John's handmade soap to the coolest small town in America. We want to acknowledge Ivy Wells for helping us through this process. Her patience, support, and friendly manner helped us make the decision to pursue this. Thank you very much, John and Alan Murkowski.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
That's all I have.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Excellent. Nice way to end the reports.
And good job for submitting us for the award.
Yeah. Okay. Next, we have the town administrator's report.
It's kind of hard to top that one. Okay, let's talk about purchase orders. So we've got purchase order number 2509 for Bond Corporation for a servicer, model 20M. It's $3,260.79. With purchase order number 2538 for annual oil sampling testing at the Savage substation and annual oil sample testing at the power plant, $1,125. Purchase order number 2586 for LB Water Surface Incorporated, $1,800. Purchase order number 2642 for Southern Corrosion Incorporated for engineering tank maintenance agreement. This would be the information that Jane was providing, for $15,869. And then purchase order number 2643 for AirCycle Corporation for the bulb eater, and Tim can tell you all about that, for $3,587.82. And that concludes my report.
Anyone have any questions regarding any of the purchase orders that have been recommended by the town administrator?
Well, Troy won't ask because he asked about the light bright thing, but I'll ask, what is the bulb eater?
I asked about the Lego set last
night. Lego light bright thing.
Actually brought a color picture of it so you could see it.
All right.
Bring her on up.
Yeah. What's it going to do for you?
Basically, right now, with the bulbs that we replaced, like the ones you see in the lights here, also the long fluorescent tube type bulbs, we're actually mandated by OSHA. We're considered a large generator because we're a municipality. We're not allowed to just go throw them in the dump, basically. Private homeowners can do that because they're not considered a large generator of that type of material. It's actually considered hazardous waste. When fluorescent bulbs break, they put off a gas into the atmosphere, which is harmful. What this device does, it allows you to feed the fluorescent tubes into it, and it also captures the gases that go up into the air, into the environment. And then what it does, it crushes it into little pieces into a 55-gallon drum, and then once the drum is full, they come and pick the drum up and dispose of it.
And then they give you a new empty drum to
keep That's working? Correct, instead okay. of ending up in our landfills.
Excellent.
Yeah. Are you eventually changing over these 8-foot, 4-foot fluorescents to LEDs?
We actually changed the ones in Town Hall from T12s to T8. At some point, when the finances are, I guess, correct, that we could go to LED. We're actually looking at that for Cannery Village, going to LED lights in Cannery Village.
And if anyone in town has anything, they can bring it in and give it to you, and you can crush them?
We're not sure we're set up for that kind of quantity of bulb crushing,
but it's something we could think about doing.
We're the green town.
I mean, we're a green town, but we also, I guess, got to be careful not to become a storage facility. Also, it depends on how much quantity
it's definitely something
is.
We'll look at.
something we could definitely look at.
One of the things is we'll have to see what the kind of demand, or what kind of supply, right?
Right, supply.
Supply becoming demand.
But don't you think in the future, as people are getting rid of the...
Yes, I mean, it's a very good idea. We actually did talk about that, but the question was, a good example is this device is located at our Schoolfield Street shop. Well, there's times when nobody's even there throughout the day. So, you know, for customers to come in and just dump them somewhere, we'd have to be careful, you know, about how we're collecting them, because you don't want them to get broke, because that's what the device is for. So it's something we could definitely look at.
Yeah, I think very good. Let's get some experience, find out what it's like to use it.
Yes.
See what kind of time it takes, and I wouldn't take it off the thing.
No.
Just kind of...
Yes, sir.
Learn by doing.
You've got some neat requests, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I'll make a motion on the POs that they be approved.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the somewhat more than normally interesting purchase orders and the things related thereto. This is for the approval of five. As proposed by the town administrator, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.
I don't have any comments. Does anyone on the council have any comments tonight?
No, sir. Just good job, everybody, for this weekend. A lot of activities.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great weekend. Anyone? Okay. Do we have any comments from anyone in attendance tonight? Any questions, comments, criticisms?
Go ahead, Dean.
Press. Okay. All right. Do we have any question for the press? Nope. Okay.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. We stand adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The lights went
off. Yeah, the lights went.
Every time you do that.
Yeah. There's a kindred spirit out there over here somewhere.
I swear.
Did
you have a ball day?
Not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
A ball day.
Have you done that?
Don't run away. I think we've got some things for you to sign.